pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So to recap a little bit about what happened in last week's scripture and sermon, Naomi is a widow with no male heirs and two daughters-in-law who are Moabites, peoples with whom Israelites are not supposed to share covenants. Orpah, Naomi's other daughter-in-law, goes back to her family. Meanwhile, Ruth stays. Pastor Mary Kay talked about the great promises and trust our protagonists, Naomi and Ruth, had in their God and one another. Pastor Mary Kay also shared that, which I still find fascinating to this point, that this is the only story in the Bible where we have two women having a conversation, two named women, who are having a conversation that doesn't involve, concern, or revolve around a man. And it's a conversation of covenant that they share only with one another and with God as they move forward on this journey together. Naomi's life has not been a walk in the park, and now, along with Ruth, they must figure out a way to survive, which, given their status as women in that time and that context with no heirs or husbands, to say it is going to be a challenge at best doesn't do justice to their situation in any form, and I think that's pretty obvious. And their survival, working in the fields, finding the closest of kin possible, is really their only option, and even with meager portions they are able to procure, their very survival, let alone their ability to thrive, is in question. And yet, these two women from the beginning of this text continue to defy gender expectations, defy gender social norms, and embrace their identity and agency living into the co-prefix of the word covenant. I was looking back through my memories on social media from November 13th, from about 7 or 8 years ago, and I came across this quotation, and I had to have been around the time when Gilda Radner passed, the legendary SNL comedian. But the quotation that Radner expresses is that she wanted a perfect ending. Now I've learned the hard way that some poems don't rhyme, and some stories don't have a clear beginning, middle, and end. Life is about not knowing, having to change, taking a moment and making the best of it, without knowing what's going to happen next. Life is delicious ambiguity, she says. I don't know that Ruth and Naomi would have considered their journeys delicious ambiguity, and perhaps it is an odd phrase to capture the essence of their story. But Radner's words speak to the intrigue and our desires as readers to continue participating, not just reading in a passive way, but becoming active participants to this moving narrative of resilience, determination, and love that Ruth and Naomi have for one another and for their God, given all that was stacked against them. But I couldn't help but read that quotation with Ruth and Naomi in mind, particularly Naomi. What was to be her contextually romanticized story with a perfect ending faded away as her world, and her world, as I imagine, in the midst of grief, her spirit had to have become broken. I hear the strength and the courage, the despondency and the grief, the pain that Naomi must carry with her forever, claiming as her own and yet trying to make something of the traumatic losses in her life. Thinking about how, when the world seems so awful and when we in our lives have experienced trauma or grief and want to move forward without having to constantly revisit the pain, as if picking a scab or ripping off a bandage every 5 minutes just to see if any sort of healing has occurred. It's there. We know it's there. It's the emotional and the physical scars that remain the same, but how long must we sit in it at any given time? When and how do we own our pain to the point where it stops hurting, but still holds a place? I think about how Naomi and Ruth, like the hemorrhaging woman in the New Testament reaching out for Jesus' cloak, claim the grace and the covenant that are rightfully R-I-G-H-T and rightfully R-I-T-E theirs. I read this story and now hear three women claim a covenant that is far broader than not only our wildest imaginations, but perhaps even their wildest imaginations. That it is a covenant that is far more inclusive, or rather that the covenant is far more expansive than ever imagined, and not because we say so, but because God did. It was Ruth and Naomi and the woman who reached out for Jesus' cloak who said that they would not be left behind, that they would not be forgotten, and that they would, in fact, live in covenant with God and with each other no matter what. One commentary said that the story of Ruth is placed differently in Christian Bibles than in Jewish Bibles. For Christians, the book of Ruth is ordered between Judges and Samuel, reflecting the historical context of the story. Meanwhile, Jewish Bibles group it with other festival scrolls, including Esther, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and Lamentations, as Ruth is the liturgical reading for the harvest festival of weeks, reflecting the book's agricultural setting. Now, I'm trying to figure out this phrasing from the commentary, providing the historical context of the story. Is it the historical context for Judges and Samuel? Is it the historical context for the Christian story? Is it historical context for Israel's story? What or which story is it trying to provide context for? Because if it's part of the Christian story, which I would argue it is, it foreshadows something huge about Ruth and Naomi's role in shaping the Davidic line from which Jesus descends, given to us in Matthew 1. Ruth, the Moabite, this former outsider of God's covenant with the Israelites, is named as one of four women in Matthew's genealogy of Jesus. And I have to wonder if the composers and compilers of the Hebrew Bible, let alone the Christian canon, had to have known that including Ruth's story was going to be in some way just a little bit radical. That it might perhaps stand out among the other scriptures as a story of God's unfolding and expanding covenant, which is shared and open to all who would claim it as such. Think about it for a moment. According to a Huffington Post article from 2015, Reverend Lindsay Harden Freeman, an Episcopal priest, did a study that found that there are 93 women who speak in the entirety of the Bible. 49 of those 93 are named. And these women, these 93 women in the Bible, speak a collective 14,056 words, which, according to the article, is roughly 1.1% of the entire Holy Book. That's between the Hebrew Scriptures, our Christian Old Testament, and the New Testament. And we have a book that is named for a woman who is an ethnic minority in relationship to the Israelites, who for all intents and purposes stood outside the covenant with Yahweh, and yet her story and her mother-in-law's stories are included in the canon of Holy Scripture. These texts, I hope and I believe, were prayerfully considered and discerned important enough that these stories of God's relationship with humankind and humankind's relationship with God were claimed as essential enough to be included and elevated to the place of Holy Scripture for the purposes to teach, for the purposes to challenge, to offer guidance and wisdom as we discern the still speaking voice of God in our lives based on the examples of those who so powerfully heard it in theirs. Now I invite you to open up your bulletins again and look towards the end of that Ruth passage. say the last three lines or so. Let me know when you notice something a bit different about Ruth and Boaz's son, specifically as it pertains to Naomi. The text says, a son has been born to Naomi. We hear the songs of emotional and spiritual destruction and war Naomi has faced in her life. And yet, as Pastor Mary Kay preached last week, we hear the songs of trust and promise, and we begin to hear the songs of unfolding love and restoration. Naomi is the great-grandmother of David. There's a line from the Broadway musical Rent in the song La Vie Boheme, which says that the opposite of war isn't peace, it's creation. My, how God has created from the turmoil and the war waged on Naomi's spirit. Amen.